Okay. So I'm going to talk about money today. And it's funny the way these things work out, because I was going to do this 2 weeks ago, but Dave asked me to swap with him. And the topic of money has been a big topic of conversation this week with the spending review. And in my family, my extended family, I spoke to my parents and my in-laws the weekend, yesterday. And one of the big topics of conversation is, so how is the spending review going to affect you? You know, is anyone else finding that? My dad works for a defence company supplying the MOD. Not only the MOD, the MOD aren't stopping everything, but that might affect him in the future. My in-laws both work for the MOD, and a third of the people from where they work are going to be made, well, there are going to be a third less jobs, but they don't think they're likely to be made redundant. And I work for the NHS, which is not too bad, so that's not the end of the world. But it's a lot in money is something we think about a lot, isn't it? And I'm not talking about money because the church needs more, because we don't. Well, we know. I mean, we can have as much as God gives us. But the church is really blessed with finances, actually, and that's because most of us give really generously and regularly, and we have a, you know, God has chosen to bless us in finances. But it's still important. It's important because it affects our relationship with God. Now, I was talking to, don't know, I'll talk about it in a minute. This book, Dave lent me this book by R.T. Kendall, The Gift of Giving. And it's a very good book. And one of the good bits in it I like is he's quoting someone else who I've never heard of. And he says, if anybody says, it ain't the money, it's the principle of the thing, then it's the money. That's the quote. You know, it's not the money, it's the principle, no, it's the money. Money is something that we find a bit difficult to talk about as well, isn't it? And it's a bit sensitive. And I was talking to Donna about how I was struggling writing this a few weeks ago in her garden. And Donna has a way in core team, and maybe when you talk to her as well, I don't know, but of summing up a whole conversation in one sentence and just putting her finger right on the nub of the issue. And it's a real talent, a real blessing God's given her. And we were talking about it. She said, yeah, because the reason that God thinks money's important is because people get money confused with God. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's it. That is why. That's why God cares. It's because we can put it in place of God. And on thinking about that, I've thought about three ways that we can do that. And there are probably lots more. So the first one is security. And that was the first one I thought of. That seems the most obvious one. That God is our security and our provision. And we can sort of put money in the place of that. When we feel we have enough, then we'll be okay. We'll be safe. Or if we just cling to this income, then that income is going to provide for us. But actually, all money comes from God. In the Bible, they didn't really have money in the same way. They did have silver and gold that they used as money. But the main thing, the most important thing, was the farming, because they were agricultural types. And so God just kept reminding them that he is the source of everything that comes out of the ground. You know, he is the source of the weather, and therefore all their produce comes from God. And it's the same for us, even though we're that much further removed from farming these days, most of us. But God is still our provision. And Jesus really cares about this. Jesus made it really simple. You know, sometimes he did parables and stuff to make things more complicated and you have to think about it. But in Matthew 6, verse 24, he said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So he spelled it out for us. This is a thing that is tempting, and you need to make sure it's not in the position of God. So then, again, and in Matthew 6 still, in fact, the next verse, he says, do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about yourself. So the next verse, he just said, God and money, don't get them confused. Next verse, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? So, and then he makes a story about, you know, he uses the birds and the flowers and how they're okay without working, and says, so do not worry about saying, what should we eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear, because the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So he really is sort of loudspeaker on this one. Don't worry about those things. The things that you need, God knows you need, and he will look after you. And he is your provider. But really, instead of all the worry you might put into that, put that worry into the kingdom, put that concern, put that energy, that thoughts, those thoughts into thinking about the kingdom and righteousness and those things, which are higher than your own physical needs, because the Father knows that you need those things, and he's not going to neglect them if you're working for the kingdom. Is that all I want to say about that? I mean, I said it in our cell group, so I'm going to say it again today. That verse is really special to me. That Matthew 6, verse 31, is really special to me. Because when Paul was a student and I was on maternity leave, money was quite tight. And we were fine, we were budgeting, and it was all okay, but there was no extra, and it was, you just had to keep your eye on it all the time, you know. And Paul got some contracting work, and when the money came through for me, it was 3 months worth of Paul's income. So this was a really big deal for us. And that day I went to Sainsbury's, because it was my Sainsbury's day, and I was getting better out of the car. And I felt this sense of joy from heaven, actually. Almost God was laughing. And he was whispering in my ear, and your Father in heaven knows that you need these things. And I laughed out loud, actually, because I could feel this sense of joy. God was saying, look, I provided for you. See, I told you I was going to, you know. And that was really special to me. And it was also one of those, you know, after the laugh, it was a oh, because I hadn't realised how much I'd been worrying until I wasn't worrying anymore. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you've had a really bad cold and it's gone on for weeks, and suddenly you can breathe through your nose, and it's, you know, it's I hadn't realised what I'd been missing, and so suddenly I had that. I hadn't realised I'd been worrying, and so don't. Don't worry if you're worrying. I'm keeping the youth really busy here with all my ums and my hair. You can hear them scribbling every time I tuck my hair behind my ears, because they're keeping a tally chart for me. Anyway, so don't worry about it, but if that is something you are worrying about, money, then bring it to God and trust him. And that's partly why I'm going to talk about tithing today, because that's something that can help you not worry about money. Okay, fulfillment, this is another thing. We can think that if we have enough money, we will feel fulfilled. You know, we will have the wonderful house, or the I need to go to the cinema every weekend, or, you know, whatever the car or the whatever is, all that material stuff. That's just a lie. And that might not be something that affects many of us, I don't know. And sometimes it is at different times as well, you know, there's... Do you know what I mean? You can have times of being free from that, and then have times of feeling and getting caught in that lie that money is going to fulfill you. But it is certainly a lie that is all around us. And because we're seeing it and hearing it all the time, we can be really influenced by it without, you know, it's really easy to be. So we need to guard our hearts against that lie that money is going to fulfill us. And also, this is another big lie that the enemy has really, really got his teeth into people in our society, in the Western world, and probably the whole world, I don't know, but that your self-worth comes from how much money you earn. And this is a This is something I really hate. I really hate this. The whole self-worth thing winds me up anyway, to be honest, because the two things, God made you in his image, and so you are an idol of God, you are an image of God, so you have intrinsic value in that respect to start with. And then the other thing, that Jesus died for you, he thought you were worth dying for. Those two things together, we have no reason to have any sort of self-doubt, either self-worth issues, if you see what I mean, as far as I can see. And so, you know, when the enemy attacks in that way, it makes me really cross, because those are two really important things that God's done and that get negated when he tells us we're not worth it. And the whole thing with the money being our self-worth makes me really cross as well, because I need to earn X amount to feel proud of myself. Also says you don't earn anything and therefore you're not worth anything. Do you know what I mean? The world has put this price on these skills are worth this much, these skills are worth this much, and so therefore your time is worth this much per hour and your time is worth this much per hour, and therefore that's what you are worth. And if you lose an arm or have a head injury so you can't work again, the insurance companies use your income as a way of calculating your compensation. And if a child has a massive head injury, for example, and is going to be a vegetable for the rest of their life, they get a lot more money, not just because they've got a longer life expectancy, but because no one knows how much they might have earned. And so if you're 50 and you get that, you know, a head injury, let's say, you've got X amount more years you would have been working, and if you're a lawyer, you would get a lot more money than if you were working in a factory. I just think it's disgusting, because we are all worth the same. You are not worth what somebody is willing to pay you. You are worth what Jesus paid for you, you know, and that puts us all on a level. So it makes me really cross. So that's why God, that's why money matters. Money matters to God and it matters to us. I hope you're making your ticks small, because you're going to run out of space otherwise, aren't you? Too many ums already. So I'm going to talk about tithing now, specifically for the rest of the time. And why is tithing important? Tithing is important for lots of reasons, but it's mostly about our relationship with God. As I've talked about, money generally is about our relationship with God. That's why it matters to God, and the way it affects our relationship with God. Now, this chappy here, this is a thought. This is the only thought I've got out of this. I've got some beautiful Bible references out of this, but the only thought I've got out of this, which I really like, is when Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac, his son, he went out on a long journey, took servants with him, he took wood with him, he was prepared, he had his knife ready and his matches, whatever he used in those days, and he went up a mountain, so, you know, more travelling, more doing, and he made this altar and he tied Isaac up and lay him on it. And only when he raised the knife did God say, "Stop. I know now what I mean to you. I know now that you would give me your son." And so sometimes there are, because obviously God knew that, you'd think, wouldn't he? Because he's outside of time, and he knows what's in our hearts as well. So he must have known that Abraham was going to do that, that Abraham was willing to do it. But it was only when Abraham actually did the action that something changed in heaven, something changed in God, and to say, "Now I know." There was that "now I know" moment. And so the same thing happens when we do things. So in the New Testament, faith is enough to save us, faith is enough to get us into heaven thing. But then faith without works, so a different writer will say, faith without works is useless. And Mr. Kendall, put those thoughts together, and this is really helpful for me. The reason faith without works is useless is because it's a showing. You need to do the showing of the faith. See what I mean? You need to show yourself, you need to show God, you need to, and sometimes show the rest of the world as well. And the baptisms last week were a really visible sign, and somebody actually said, I'm doing this because I want to show how much I love God. And with tithing, we keep it secret. We don't do it in public because it's not between you and the world like baptism is. Tithing is between you and God. But it's showing God how much you love him. It's a part of worship. So that's one of the things. It changes God by showing him how much you love him. Also, again, Matthew 6, Jesus talking about money, Matthew 6. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there too your heart will be. So God says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where the moth and the rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where the moth and rust do not destroy. So this is Matthew 6, verse 19, for those of you who are taking notes. Where the moth and the rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So if your treasure is in the bank, and when the banks were in trouble, some people were really worried because that's where their treasure was. Then, or if it's in your house or your car or whatever, that's where your heart is. That's where you think about. If you've invested your money in something, then you've invested a bit of your heart as well. That's where you've chosen to put something valuable. And so it's the same with storing up treasures in heaven. If we're putting money into the kingdom, then our heart will be in the kingdom. Our efforts will be in the kingdom. If you're putting money into the church, then I would like to suggest that you're more likely to pray about how much money the church has, for example. And you're more likely to maybe be involved in the service, or, do you know, whatever you're doing, you're going to be you're investing yourself in the church. Other good reasons to tithe. Malachi 3, starting at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob God? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, said the Lord, and see if I do not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing on you that you will not have room for it. I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit. They won't drop the fruit off before it's ready. And says the Lord Almighty, then all nations will call you blessed, and yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So God's actually promising a blessing when we do the tithes and offerings thing. And there's not many times in the Bible where God says, test me. And actually, when Jesus was being tested in the desert, the devil said, go to a tall building and jump off because the angels will catch you. He said, no, you mustn't put God to the test. But here God is saying, test me. Because actually, what he wants to bless us. So he's saying, you know, do your bit that we've agreed in the past, and now, and then I'll bless you. Go on, please test me, because I want to bless you. So I think that's a really good reason. And in this book is full of stories. Well, not full, but there's lots of stories in it of people who, when you know, they've been having hard times financially, even in debt. And struggling to pay their debts, but have started tithing, and things have resolved really quickly. Or as Carol says, and Carol always says that she gets teased because people say it's because she can't do the math, but she does her budget and she tithes, but there always seems to be more money left over than she thought, you know. I don't know if that's because she can't count, or if actually God is blessing her with the whole loaves and fishes thing. You know, if we can do the loaves and fishes, 5,000 people, just a few loaves and fishes, have more leftovers than we started with, then of course he can do whatever he likes with blessing you in your finances as well. So yeah, so the blessing, it's a good reason. I think empowering the church is a good reason too. As I say, we are really blessed in this church, and in core team, when we're thinking about planning strategic things for the future and how what we're going to do to serve the community, it's not really money that's holding us back. We have faith for the money. It's the getting the volunteers is more the thing that we just, because we're all doing so much already, you know, we don't want to put too much on people. If we don't have more people, there's a lot we can't do. But God blesses us for money. So if we bring the whole, so in Malachi verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there might be food in my house. It's a fact of honouring the church, actually, is that God has said, give a tenth. And then the whole, all the nations will call you blessed. So it's an honouring the church thing as well. And it's through the church having the right amount of finances, whatever that is, God knows what that is, that we can then bless all the nations. My last thing of why tithing is a good thing is that it gives equal dignity to everyone. By asking for 10%, it's a bit like income tax, isn't it? It was a lot like income tax. Everyone pays the same proportion. So if you don't have a lot, you don't have to pay a lot. If you do have a lot, you have to pay more. So therefore, there is no minimum standard of income that you have to impress God, or to be a part of it, if you see what I mean. There is no, you have to have £10,000 a year before there's any point in contributing to the church. That's totally not a kingdom value. Kingdom says you are intrinsically valuable, and your relationship with God, God said, I would like a tenth, please. Actually, he said it more powerfully than that. In Leviticus, he said, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain or soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So it's already God's, is what he's saying. I'm giving you this much because I'm providing everything for you. 10% is mine. You need to give it back to me. And it's like, that's just what he's saying. So we all have equal dignity in that. So when I had 50 pence a week as my pocket money, I tithed 5 pence. And I never really thought all that much about what the church was going to do with my 5 pence. That wasn't the point. The point was my relationship with God. God said, give me a tenth. So I did. When I was at university, some of my Christian friends said, how can you afford to tithe? And to be honest, I was a bit naughty. I didn't tithe on the money my parents gave me for my rent. And in retrospect, I now think, actually, if I had, because maybe now I believe in tithing more, if I had, maybe my blessing would have been greater. And we're going to talk about that as well in a sec. I should have talked about that a minute ago when I was talking about blessing. Sorry, I've just seen it. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided to give in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So, God loves a cheerful giver. And anyway, yeah, so those who sow generously will also reap generously. So if I tithe that income as well, maybe I would have been even more blessed. But I was very blessed anyway. So blessings, proportion. Dignity, that's right, yes, so equal dignity. And, oh, it's a good thing to be teaching our children as well. It depends how old your children are, but at some point you start giving them pocket money to teach them about money, don't you? Most people, I think. And that's what I'm planning to do anyway. My parents did with me, was to give me a certain amount each week, 50 pence is something I remember from, I think, when I was about 12. So there's the, you can spend it right now or you can save it, was really the theory. But also you tithe. And so teaching children from whenever is good to do. And you can have two different money boxes, or you put it all in the money box, but when you take it out, you tithe. That's something we did. I think, yeah, for a while I had two different money boxes, definitely. But it's good to teach the children. And that's something I've got on the next bit about how to tithe, actually. Because we've changed the way we do the offerings here at church, here at Sundays, sorry. And part of that was because it was just going round and no one was putting anything in it. And that was mostly because most people who give regularly give through the banking system. You know, that's what we do. You do it all on the internet and you never see it. And it's just a number on a list. And that's fine. But it's not really a very good message for the children that, what's this basket for? Oh, it's to give to God. Oh, no one's giving to God. So that's why we stopped doing it like that. And we have it at the back now, so that if you want to bring your cash to Sundays, then you can. Or if you want to do it through the banks, that's fine as well. But actually, when we were talking about that in core team, the point that actually it's supposed to be tithes and offerings had sort of came up to me again. I think, actually, yeah, when has it been that I've actually thought on a weekly basis, I would like to give this much extra as well as my tithe that goes out on a monthly basis. So just to throw that one out as well. So how do we tithe? We tithe a tenth. We tithe joyfully and trusting in God, because it reminds us that God is our provider. And we tithe to the church as opposed to some other Christian organisation, because the church is God's storehouse and it's honouring to the church. And because it's investing in the church and saying that we're part of this church, it's a part of belonging. And we teach our children. And that is where I'm going to finish. Okay. Yes. Great.